Hello everyone, this is Mrs. Daly and I'm reading chapter 11 of Nim's Island. "It's a nightmare," Alex groaned, keying in travel agents in the internet search engine. "She's alone on the island and nobody knows about it except me. Me, who's been afraid of airplanes and oceans since my uncle whirled me through the air and into a swimming pool." "I like being in my flat," she moaned, clicking Pacific charter flights with my books, my computer, and my imaginary friends. "People who live in my head and go away when I put their story away. Places that fit into maps and pictures. Animals that don't smell or eat or leave hair on the carpet." "There's only one thing to do," she said, clicking back to her email. "To jack.russo@explorer.net from akaincognito.net. Date, Friday, 9 April, 1352. Dear Nim, all my heroes are just pretend. Real people aren't usually as brave or as strong or smart or lucky as the heroes in my stories. Maybe that's why it's fun to make them up or read about them. Because I'm not tall, dark, and handsome. I'm certainly not brave, and I'm not a man. But even if I'm not a hero and you don't need rescuing, I'd still love to come and see you and the island and, of course, Fred, Selkie, and Chica." "What kind of dog is Selkie? I'm guessing that she's a St. Bernard if she weighs more than your father. And Fred's a little poodle? Love, Alex. P.S. My phone number is 155-897-346. What's yours?" The letter waited all the next day, till Nim checked her email again. She stared at the screen. She read the letter out loud and the words stayed the same. She turned the computer off and ripped out the plug, but the words danced in her head. Alex Rover was not a hero. Alex Rover was a woman, and she wasn't even brave. Outside, the evening was peaceful and still, but inside, Nim was a rage hotter than Fire Mountain's lava and wilder than a whirlpool in a storm. She felt angry and cheated, tricked and stupid, lost and lonely, sad and confused, and the feelings were stronger than the words could say. They jostled and shoved and spun and crowded and exploded. Her shout rang across the water. Birds settling for the night flapped into the sky, and the king roared an answer from Sea Lion Point. Selkie, barking worriedly, lolloped across the sand. Fred peered from under his rock. Nim was afraid that if she used the laptop, she'd punch the keys right through the keyboard. She grabbed a piece of paper and pencil and marched back outside. "To Alex Rover, it was horrible to trick me, even if you didn't mean to. Because whenever I was really lonely or scared or bored, I thought about what you would do, and then I could do it, too. Which was stupid if you're not a hero, and I wish I'd never done it. And I especially wish that I'd never ever wished that you were my father instead of Jack. I will never forgive you. Goodbye forever from Nim." Scrabbling in the dark, she found sticks and branches for a fire. And when it was blazing, she threw the letter on top so that the smoke would carry it far, far away to wherever Alex Rover lived. And she would smell it and know just how angry Nim was. Selkie and Fred crept up beside her. "Alex Rover lied to me," she told them, and threw another stick on the fire. Selkie barked low in her chest. "Well, not exactly lied," Nim muttered, and rubbed her tears on Selkie's warm fur. "But she's not a hero. I thought I knew who Alex Rover was. He was my friend, and now he's gone." Selkie grunted comfortingly. "You won't change into something else, will you?" Nim asked, not sure whether she was joking or not. "I won't wake up tomorrow and find out you're a mermaid." Selkie grunted again, a little louder. "Alex thinks you're a St. Bernard. She thinks Fred is a poodle. She must be crazy." Suddenly, she began to giggle. "She thought you were dogs, and I thought she was a hero. The giggle became a laugh, and the laugh became a bellow, and she was rolling over and over on the sand, hiccuping and laughing or crying. She didn't know which until Fred sneezed and Selkie barked to make her stop, whichever it was. And she knew there was another reason that she'd sent the letter in a way that Alex couldn't read it. So when the sun came up the next morning, she turned on the laptop again to aka incognito.net from jack.russo@explorer.net. Date, Sunday, 11 April, 6:45. Dear Alex Rover, maybe you didn't try to trick me. I wanted to know someone brave because I'm not. I think maybe I accidentally tricked you too. Selkie and Fred aren't dogs, but you will like them. When are you coming? From Nim. To jack.russo@explorer.net. From aka incognito.net. Date, Sunday, 11 April, 1:46. Dear Nim, now, love, Alex. For 2 nights and 2 days, Alex had been planning, sorting, packing. Her time had switched to island time. She slept when it was night there and got up in the dark to turn on her computer at the island's dawn. She refused to think about what she'd do if Nim said no, because she didn't quite believe that Nim had stopped being lonely. And she didn't quite know if Jack would really be home soon. And because nothing in her life had ever been this important, she packed a first aid kit, her laptop and cell phone, 2 notebooks and 2 pens, the Swiss Family Robinson and Robinson Crusoe, a toothbrush, a hairbrush, soap, 2 t-shirts, 2 pairs of shorts, 1 pair of jeans, 1 sweater, 3 sets of underwear and socks, and the map with the island marked with a dot. Then she picked up her suitcase and locked the door behind her. Thanks for listening.